Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to talk about another egg because it's episode 7 of the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. And of course, as we're just over that halfway point, it's good to remind you, these are our favourite eggs. These are our favourite eggs. And as such, we've got a bloody lovely egg for you today.
Yeah.
He's a favourite of mine. He's a favourite of yours. It's Dion Dublin.
The world's biggest egg.
Yes.
Why?
Because he keeps doubling and doubling and doubling. And I will not apologise for that.
Nor should you.
No.
He almost ruined Shea Given's career.
Yes, he did. Very much so.
Shea Given is the only Irishman who doesn't know where Dublin is, etc.
Yeah, exactly, because Dublin was behind him.
I remember.
Nipped in, got the ball, scored two in that game.
Cheeky Dublin.
He rolled the ball out, and he's about to take a kick off the floor, and Dublin was hiding behind him on the hoardings.
Yeah, some say it shouldn't have been allowed because Dublin left the field of play.
Oh.
That was when he was at Coventry, was it not?
Yeah.
Paul Durkin was the referee.
But he ran in, and he hit it at a quite acute angle. He put it away.
He did. They didn't win the game, did they, Pete?
Did they not?
Because Rob Lee scored an absolute beauty past Big Oggy to make it 2-0.
Oggy, Steve McGrizzovic.
Yeah, Oggy, Oggy, Oggy.
Yes.
Egg.
He had an egg on the front of his face.
He was an egg. He was an actual egg, I think.
Yeah.
With limbs.
With limbs.
Good like Dizzy. Goalkeeper. Dizzy!
Treasure Island Dizzy.
Oh my goodness. One for the younger ones.
No, just get off my iPad. If you're not willing to put audio on, you're allowed to touch it.
I'm sorry.
Treasure Island Dizzy.
That's it.
Maybe
they'll come up in the next few.
One day I will give you my top 5 Dizzy games, and it ain't Treasure Island Dizzy.
Do it now.
No.
Magic Land Dizzy. It's got to be in there.
Fantasy World Dizzy.
Right, come on.
Fantasy World Dizzy.
Dion good. Dublin here.
Property Egg.
Yeah. Dizzy, Prince of the York Fork.
Yeah.
We've moved on from Dizzy.
Yeah.
You little rascal.
Shea Given was Dizzy after Dion Dublin did that to him.
you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Oh, no.
Before presenting Holmes Under the Hammer, of course, he was hammering in the goals for various sides.
And they auctioned him to Man United. Yeah.
But originally from,
I enjoyed that.
From Leicester, he started at Norwich City. Never made a first team appearance, but would end up playing there. Finishing his career.
Big of him.
At Norwich, of course.
Yeah.
When he first got into football, he said that he wasn't earning much money. So he would wash senior players' cars, sweep the stands, and paint the dressing rooms to earn extra money.
How often did they need painting?
I don't know. Do youth players still do that sort of thing nowadays? Instagramming this? Yeah, just sweeping the stands. Yeah, amazing. But he went to play
for Cambridge. To be fair, Callum Hudson-Odoi is probably doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. He went to play for Cambridge United. Not one of the big sides, but they won back-to-back promotions and they weren't far off the top flight.
That's right.
Cambridge.
Was it under John Beck?
Could have been.
Possibly John Beck. Yeah, possibly.
Alex Ferguson signed him for Manchester United for £1 million. Big fee back then, Jim.
Very much so. And also quite a rare thing now, a very rare thing now, that a club would go, or a player would go from a club like Cambridge United to Man United.
Yeah. Well, Ferguson was trying to buy Shearer, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, Shearer doesn't come across very well in Ferguson's account of that situation.
Every player's got a story about how they mugged off Alex Ferguson. Gazza was supposed to be gone, and then he said no at the last minute. I think it's just Ferguson going, why do you want to play for me?
Yeah, but he quotes Shearer on a couple of phone conversations that Ferguson and Shearer had. Mm. And Ferguson plays quite a nice move. It didn't work, but this is a bit later when he goes in for him the second time when Shearer signs for Blackburn, I think. Well, it's between United and Blackburn, and Kenny Dalglish is managing Blackburn, of course. And Ferguson calls Shearer up and... Previously, he had been told to stay away because there was no official sanctioning of the transfer. But he says that Blackburn were in contact with Shearer without him knowing. So he was anxious to make up for lost time. So he calls Shearer's representative and gets hold of Shearer and starts speaking to him. And says, and Shearer just is quite grumpy and says, why haven't you been in contact with me before now? Why have you only just started to take interest? And Ferguson says, well, I was told by the club that there was no official transfer sanction, so it's impossible for me to get involved. Mm. And he said... oh, well, Kenny's been in constant contact. And Ferguson was like, all right, fair enough. Obviously, Fergie's old sparring partner, Kenny. Yeah. And Ferguson plays a great move. He says to him, do you think Kenny Dalglish would have signed for Blackburn or would he have signed for Man United in your position? And apparently Shearer said, it's not about what Kenny wants, it's about what I want, and put the phone down on it.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So he's very, very grumpy. But Ferguson loved Dion Dublin. Mm, he absolutely loved him. He says in his
book... Every part of him.
One in particular.
I'll leave that bit to you, but he says in his book, he says...
It was absolutely magnificent, is what he said.
He said he was recommended him by one of his scouts, and we had scouts all over the place, and so they got a video reel sent over, and he said, and he says in the book, it was one of the best video reels he'd ever seen, and he said he couldn't turn him down at £1 million. It was an absolute snip. And of course, Dublin sadly broke his leg and had a bit of difficult time. I think he never scored one goal from him, didn't he, or something?
Yeah, he did get a Premier League's winner's medal, though, didn't he?
Right.
Special dispensation for it, which is a nice little fact, that.
It is, yeah. I it's funny with Dion Dublin, because you look at certain players, and when players have longevity, especially at the really top level, there is an element of luck, of course, among all that, among the hard work and the skill. Well,
the other bad luck he had was when he was finally fit again. Yeah. Cantona and Hughes were playing up front.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it was very difficult.
I think was Cantona signed because he'd broken his leg?
Possibly.
It was around that time, I believe it might have been, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And quite wonderfully, though, when he was injured at that time, taught himself to play the saxophone.
There we go.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, musical egg.
That was well before
more of which later, presumably.
Well before the tube,
which is a square egg.
It's a square egg, yeah.
A square egg.
Kind of.
Well, he left for Coventry City, who were top flight side at the time, pretty big team as well. And that's where we saw what he could do a bit more, certainly at the top level. In my mind, he was always in a relegation scrap with Coventry City, though. They were always down there, weren't they?
They eventually did get relegated, of course.
Yeah, they had that amazing amazing escape on the last day of the season when they were second from bottom in 1997, and they needed to beat Spurs at White Hart Lane, which seemed unlikely, and they needed results to go their way, and they bloody well did it. They bloody well did it. Dion Dublin was among the scorers that day, of course. Middlesbrough and Sunderland went down instead that day. That was the Middlesbrough side with Ravanelli and Janino. And all those guys.
Forrest went down that year as well.
I think Ravanelli scored 30 goals in that season, didn't he?
Did he
in the Premier League when they got relegated.
That's incredible, isn't it? Bloody Nora.
What a season that was.
Yeah, because Middlesbrough scored quite a lot of goals that season, but they just couldn't win. They're just terrible at winning games.
They shipped them.
They did.
They shipped those
very
goals.
Very unlike Arrigo Sacchi's Milan.
Yeah. Well, the following season, Dion Dublin finished joint top scorer in the Premier League with Chris Sutton and Michael Owen.
Yeah, he was very unfortunate not to go to the World Cup.
Very unfortunate. But among there, though, you see people... I know Dion Dublin's scoring record isn't as spectacular as other players who have played in his position in the league, but it's not bad. But finishing top scorer in the Premier League, along with Chris Sutton, who was, you know, one can forget what a good player he was, and a young Michael Owen as well.
Mm.
And of course, in 1998, he got first few England call-ups as well, and very, very unlucky not to go to the World Cup. Glenn Hoddle said that it was the hardest call to leave Dion Dublin out of the side.
Probably the most high profile person he left out.
On
well.
The other hand, Glenn Hoddle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing that's glossed over, and I think I might have said this before, so forgive me, Gascoigne, we all know about. The thing that was an absolute disgrace was that, and Ray Parlour was left out.
Mm.
Ray Parlour, who had played almost every game in the league winning side, and I don't think he was even in the 35. Which is strange, because Hoddle had very, very strong ideas about...
Yeah, but the system he played wouldn't have suited Parlour. 3-5-2. Parlour was very much a right-side of midfielder.
Get the Romford in there.
Well, could have been.
Exactly. But we had to talk about Dubbers. Yeah. Because Ray Parlour would never be an egg. Yeah.
He couldn't be further away from being an egg.
Trust me, he'd never be an egg.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. One of the reasons, of course, for the big argument for taking Dublin is because he could play out front or at the back.
Yeah,
double
up.
He started in Norwich and Cambridge, didn't he, as a defender, and they sort of converted him because they just, in training, he was just knocking goals in. He's like, oh, let's try him up top.
It's lovely, that, isn't it?
That would never happen today, I don't reckon.
Yeah, I can't think of, I mean, the greatest example of that perhaps is the great John Charles. The Wales international, former Wales international, obviously, and when he used to play in Italy, he would score the goal and then go back and defend it, and they'd win 1-0. Now, let's be clear, Dublin wasn't quite up to that standard, but I mean, who the flipping hell was?
Yeah.
Well, starting your career as a defender, and then, like, if you were being generous at Coventry, certainly, he was almost a 1-2 striker, like, which is so rare and
for
so
a side
expensive.
Who were always in a relegation.
And he certainly used his egg, didn't he?
He did.
He
scored a lot of goals with his egg. He actually broke his neck at one point as well.
He did.
And he has plates in his neck now, and he returned to playing quite soon after it, which is phenomenal, really.
It was described as life-threatening, that injury.
Not career-threatening, life-threatening.
Exactly, yeah. And
wow.
And obviously, as it progressed and as the news came out, they said, well, okay, it looks like he's going to be okay, but might not ever play again. Back playing 3 months later.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Let's have a bit more Dion Dublin chat after this, eh?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/ramble.
Eggs, eggs, we like eggs. Eggs, eggs, we like eggs. Hard-boiled poached or scrambled. Edge.
Welcome back to the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. We're talking about Dion Dublin, a fine man. I have met the man.
Have you?
Oh, delightful.
Talk to us about your experience.
Mm. I met Dion Dublin.
Live egg.
Oh, my goodness. I was flanked by two very tall eggs when did a thing once with Dion Dublin and Matt Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
During the Euros. And then, of course, before the 2018 World Cup, which was the second time I worked with Dion Dublin, it was with Eggie Keegan as well.
Nice. How was Dion? Was he nice?
Genuinely a delightful man.
Yeah.
I can't talk highly enough of him. He's a fabulous specimen.
I'm not surprised by that, because much like an egg, he seems very versatile, doesn't he?
Because, genuinely a lovely egg.
The music thing, which we've obviously touched on already, and being a presenter as well. You know, clearly he's got a lot in his locker.
Yeah.
Was he very friendly?
Oh, yeah. Honestly.
Is he your favourite egg in this list?
In terms of personality and whatnot, possibly. But I think he's maybe the only one I've met from the from the list, to be fair. He moved to Aston Villa.
A lot of money at the time.
After Coventry, yeah.
5.75 million, yeah. Which is a lot of the time.
So we talked about the on-field collision that nearly broke his neck. He had another on-field collision when playing for Villa in a Birmingham derby when he headbutted Robbie Savage.
Yeah. No, it wasn't just a headbutt. Let's get this absolutely right. It was one of the worst tackles I've ever seen, which kicked Savage about 20 feet in the air. Then when Savage got up and said, to be fair to Robbie Savage, said, that's a bit out of order. Dublin stuck a nut on him and got sent off. Fantastic. And Dublin said later on,
is it fantastic?
Yeah. Well, imagine the feeling of sticking the nut on Robbie Savage.
After you've completely totaled him as well.
Oh, God, my trousers got a little bit tighter.
Yeah. Dion Dublin, to be fair as well, because what I will say in defence of Savage is he had pretty much for once not an awful lot to do with that. Yeah. And Dublin's later said, you know, Robbie Savage, I've always got on well with him. He's a friend of mine now and he was a friend of mine then. Mm. And I just lost it. The Red Mist has sent it. Because there was a lot of talk that Savage must have said something a bit untoward to spot that reaction. And Dublin came out and said, look, you know, I've got to be totally honest. Nothing like that went on. Mm. It wasn't at all offensive or racist or anything like that. I just lost it. Because if you watch the incident back, so Savage is just going, what? And what? And what? And then Dublin just goes right in and
and that.
That's what.
That's what. Yeah.
Me, you are. Egg.
Question answered.
Egg town, population, your face.
Yeah. And then he obviously sent off, but it's a great moment.
It shows you.
Great Premier League moment.
Look. let's not be.
Savage was fine. He was fine.
He was fine.
Let's. Genuinely, we talked about
how my face.
Talking about it being a lovely.
How's that on my face?
He wasn't. Obviously, he was a physical player, Dion Dublin, and I wouldn't have liked to have come up against.
Do you remember the tackle?
But it was unlike Dion Dublin. I would say it was uncharacteristic, which shows you what he obviously thought about that.
But it's no different to a week or so ago when we're talking about Scott Brown getting Angelo Morales sent off.
No, it's very different to that.
It's not, because he knew exactly what he was doing.
No, but Morales, that was his fifth red card of the season.
But Savage had been obviously chipping at Dion Dublin all game.
Oh, Scott Brown's like that. He's a knob.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it doesn't justify Dion Dublin's decision to do that or Morelos's. But I'm saying Morelos has lots and lots of form for that, whereas Dublin didn't.
True.
This shows you how much.
What I'm saying is, look at the victim.
Dublin was.
You're almost Savage making it out that Dublin's the victim. Well, I had to do it. It's Robbie Savage.
Yeah.
Well, there I've got it. Talk us through it. So they're already having a melee.
Go back.
Yeah, no.
This is a great audio feature.
Look at that tackle. Absolutely smashes
he
him.
Flips Robbie Savage, and then there's a bit. The referee's in between the two and can't control Dublin, how angry he is. And Dublin just sticks the knot on Robbie Savage. And Robbie Savage looks like he's lost a tooth.
That is mad, isn't it? Because the referee is
Mark Halsey, isn't it?
He's trying to restrain Dublin, as you say. And Dublin, he's so focused on the on what he deems to be the task in hand, he headbutts Savage as the ref's trying to
over the top of the left shoulder.
It's not like I'll get a cheeky one behind the ref's back. And
Olaf Melberg's going, why?
I will say,
why is this happening?
There's a lot of Birmingham players around remonstrating before the headbutt goes in, and Dublin says, oh, the red mist set, I didn't know what I was doing. He didn't headbutt anyone else. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't like Joey Barter where you took everyone else off. You just stuck a knot on Savage and you walked
off. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's different to Morelos.
Yeah. It was a great contribution to this series of shows. Arguing my favourite moment with your favourite man.
Naughty?
Oh, very naughty. Mm. Very naughty.
Hey, check this out. Oh, hang on. Let me get this. Let me get the audio.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
There we go. Yeah.
See?
Is that an egg who's made a contribution to this show?
Yeah. Absolutely right. There's a number of stories, and we've mentioned a couple of them, about teams and managers lining up bids. Big bids for Dublin.
Big bids.
But due to injury and other reasons, they didn't quite go through. There was one at Everton, and I think Howard Kendall actually resigned over it, where he put a bid in for Dublin, and then the board were like, no, we're not doing that. People recognise this guy's talent, and I think that sometimes you think of Dublin as being this big lump of a centre forward.
Or a jobbing journeyman. Yeah, exactly. A little bit,
but there was talent there that clearly people, Ferguson for crying out loud, saw. Yeah. And just in another time without the injury and whatnot, I just wonder what...
It's funny, isn't it? Because he is a player that was very close to getting bigger moves than he eventually had.
Exactly.
And I think that, as I think you're saying, it affected his status in retrospect.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, look, he played for England a few times, but I think he only got 4 England caps. One of them I saw, the first ever England game I saw in the flesh, was at Wembley. England versus Czech Republic, 2-0. Paul Merson scored. Might have been his last appearance for England. And he played up front with Ian Wright.
Oh,
and
nice.
I think Dion Dublin got an assist with a flick on for Merson as well, which was
nice.
Delightful.
Nice.
But yeah, people
didn't care as much about assists back in those days, did they?
No, they didn't.
We never used to count assists like when we were kids.
No, it's a strange one.
Now it's everywhere, assists.
Yeah, absolutely. He did play for Celtic, though, under his old boss Gordon Strachan, and won the Scottish League Cup and the league up there. Bit of silverware.
He also had a stint at Leicester.
He did.
Before Celtic, yeah.
Yeah, Celtic's a bit bigger, though.
Yeah.
Well, certainly was back then.
Premier League winners.
Yeah, way before that.
Brendan Rodgers doesn't seem to agree.
Yeah. That's true. He finished at Norwich, and in his final year as a player, when he was about 39 years old, 38, 39, was voted
Player of the Year.
Norwich's Player of the Season.
Yeah.
I assume that was on merit.
I think it was.
Well, he was second the season before, so...
From what I can make out, it was, because he did play quite a lot of games in a couple of years. I think he played almost every game.
Yeah. But it's funny with Dublin, because he's very popular. When he was subbed off in his last match at Sheffield Wednesday... Sorry, for Norwich, and they were playing at Hillsborough at Sheffield Wednesday, he was given a standing ovation by both sets of fans, and even Mark Clattenburg, the referee, applauded.
He wants to be a part of it, Mark, doesn't he?
Of course he does, yeah.
Yeah, clats.
He wasn't clattering on.
No, I wasn't clattering on.
But that is quite strange for a player, for the home fans. I think people think of his last game, you know, a bit of goodwill, let's give him a round of applause. But someone like Dion Dublin, I think he was quite a popular figure.
Yeah, I agree.
In the league, you know,
very much so.
It wasn't too surprising.
What about his Homes Under the Hammer career?
Well, I was about to say, yeah, I forgot the name, which is why I just went and you saved me.
Hammer House.
Hammer House of Horrors.
Hammer House.
Homes Under the Hammer, eh?
Yeah,
shows you his versatility.
Well, it's an interesting situation, that show, isn't it? Because obviously those homes are up for auction, so you could be in a situation where, you know,
someone resigns because they don't get the clearance for the funds.
Or where Dion Dublin sells your house on telly.
Yeah,
he doesn't. He's not the actual auctioneer.
No, but you know, he's
like an agent.
I don't think he's passed any exams to do it.
No, but it's still that he's
involved.
Giving it some PR, isn't he?
I'd quite like that.
Look at this. You'd like it. To lose your house and then have Dion Dublin sell it on telly.
Dion Dublin in the house.
If Dion Dublin was involved in the selling of a house that I owned...
I mean, it's insult to injury.
I think we're coming at this from different angles.
Okay.
If it's been auctioned off because it's been repossessed, your house has been repossessed, maybe you're going back round there to just grab whatever you can.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And Dion Dublin's out there going, all right, yeah. You know, what are you doing here?
He's high in the garden, Shea Given's house.
Yeah.
So in my head...
He's selling it on. Yeah.
In my head, Dion Dublin was an estate agent in that.
Yeah, not quite the same.
Yeah, sorry.
He made an appearance with Ocean Colour Scene.
Now you're talking.
He's Anglia, isn't he? Very versatile leg.
Banging his jube.
Yeah.
And the jube is obviously this kind of like, isn't it based on like a Peruvian percussion instrument?
Yeah.
Or is it? Which is one of those boxes, isn't it?
Called a cajon.
But it has succeeded as well, hasn't it? When he first brought it out, it was one of those quirky little, here's a footballer doing a quite strange thing. But it still exists. It wasn't one of those idiosyncratic little odd things. It's by all accounts, percussionists like it.
Indeed. Well, and it showed his popularity because he was really surprised at the interest in the jube. Mm. Like he almost was quite humbled by it as well.
Would you like to buy one? You can still buy one on the thejube.com/shop.
How much are you talking?
Doesn't look like the website's been updated very recently, but yeah, you can buy, I think there are two different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
You can also buy a jube bag and a high stand.
Mm-hmm. I think there's only one person around this table who may drunkenly buy one of them.
Actually, how much?
Incepting.
In the style of Homes Under the Hammer, we'll do an auction for it.
Right.
How much are you prepared to pay? Peter first.
How much I think it's selling for?
Yeah.
I think would be the preferred.
How much do you think it's selling for?
I think it's selling for 100.
So there's two sizes, a small and a large. So let's go for the large.
Okay, so large, 200 quid.
Okay, Jim?
I was going to say that, so I will go 250.
I was going to say 250. Well, I'll say I don't think it, yeah.
I think it might be more than that. 200 now.
150.
All right. Well, you can buy a large tube in natural or in white or in black.
Not eggshell?
No eggshell, sadly. And for £320.
Oh, wow.
Basically just a box.
Yeah.
So that is quite pricey, but I admire the entrepreneurial spirit of it, I have to say.
Well, you sort of, with those kind of things, you sort of sit on them and bang them, don't you? Because when acoustic acts come and do stripped-down versions of their songs, they always got one block of those.
I'll tell you, it's been reduced. The 18-inch one, which is the large one, has been reduced to £240.
Could there I keep things in there?
£240 for a Dion Dublin 18-incher. Not bad.
It's an instrument, it's a seat, it's a box, it's an occasional table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Again, versatile.
Exactly.
Marvellous stuff. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Dion Dublin, what a lovely egg. Thanks for listening to episode 7 of the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. See you tomorrow.
Lovely sausage.
Was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.